If you have a teenager in your life, there's one thing that is likely at the top of their Christmas wish list, and that's an e-bike. Power-assisted pedal bikes have lots of benefits. They're great for commuting if you don't want to get too sweaty. They're good for touring around on a holiday, but not all e-bikes are created equal. In fact, many of the models flooding the market at the moment aren't really bikes at all. Some are so heavily modified, they're basically motorbikes, and they can be deadly. Over the past week, two children have died in e-bike-related incidents in Queensland. The details of those cases are yet to emerge, but they're tragic ones that sadly aren't isolated to one state. So one of the hardest things for parents to navigate is what kind of e-bike, if any, might be safe for their kid, and what are the risks to their safety and others around them. Well, Carl Stade is the assistant manager of Life Cycle Bikes in Margaret River in Western Australia. Carl, welcome to Life Matters.
Yeah, good morning.
I guess it's a bit of a moot point because in WA it's illegal for kids under 16 to ride an e-bike.
Yeah, that's true. That is the case. It's a fact that actually not many people in the community seem to be aware of because we're constantly having that conversation with parents about. And that law does vary from state and territory around Australia. So people should always check what the local restrictions are.
So you say that there's not a lot of awareness of it. What are you seeing around on the paths around the bike shop?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of younger crew that are still riding e-bikes. So either the parents are not aware or they simply don't care. And there's a lot of younger crew riding around. Like, I think by and large, for the most part, most of the younger kids are doing the right thing and they're not making a hazard of themselves. But there's always that minority that are doing the wrong thing and getting themselves into trouble or worse. So unfortunately, there is that minority that's out there. And that's something that we're just trying to work together with local community. We're a local independent store, and we're just trying to work together with local community to get everyone on the same page working together.
What kind of conversations are you having with parents when they're coming in to the shop looking to buy an e-bike for their kid?
Yeah, it's a real mixed bag. There's a lot of parents that are coming to us to fact find and seek information, which is always a good thing. Obviously, we're not lawyers, we're not police, we can't advise on legal matters, but we are aware of what the regulations and limitations are in our industry. And so there are some parents coming in and they're interested in getting an e-bike for their kid. They might have a 12 or 13-year-old child and they want to give them more mobility and independence. They might live a little bit further out of town but have access to a cycle path, so they want to allow them to, you know, be mobile and be independent, be able to get around on their own and not have to drive them around everywhere. And they're coming in, they're asking us about e-bikes, if there's anything available in smaller frames, smaller sizes, and we're having that conversation with them about those age limits and also the power limits and the design limits on the bikes. There are some people that genuinely are not aware that there are those limits. So there's people that are coming in asking, you know, do you have anything with a throttle that can go faster? You know, a friend of mine has one, but it's only a pedal assist and it only does 25 kilometres an hour. So we are having that conversation with people. And it's only our job just to inform them what the local regulations are and always encourage people to go and check with the local police and check what the actual restrictions are, because it can vary from state and territory.
Well, you're saying that there's a lot of them around. If they're not buying them from your shop, how else are they getting in?
Yeah, look, the main thing we're seeing is people buying them directly online. So they're buying them either as a kit conversion. That's pretty popular in our area. So it's like a wheel with a motor inside the wheel, and they kind of plug it in and attach the battery to the frame. It's pretty cool and creative what some of these people are doing. These young people, they're installing themselves, and we're really impressed by the engineering and kind of DIY attitude. Unfortunately, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids aren't always the best at installing things safely and properly, and they might think it's okay. We kind of look at it from an industry perspective, and we're like, this is incredibly dangerous because you only have one really poor performing brake on your bike, or the frame is not actually engineered for the additional torque and the additional weight of the conversion. Another really popular option is people buying fully assembled bikes in a box, and they're being sold often direct to consumer through online websites. And that's not really necessarily a major competition for us. It's a different type of rider. It's a different type of market. It's the sort of person that probably wouldn't come into our store and buy one of the road legal pedal assisted e-bikes that we do sell. So it's a different type of market. It's more of this hybrid kind of bicycle, electric motorbike market that people are kind of chasing after. And there does seem to be demand for that type of thing that you can, you know, pop a wheelie down the street just by pushing a throttle. And that's not something that we really sell. That's not really our market, but it's kind of a new emerging market, I'd say.
Carl, I can hear you being so diplomatic here, and I appreciate it. You are listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking with Carl Stade, who's the Assistant Manager of Life Cycle Bikes in the Margaret River in Western Australia, about e-bikes, especially for kids under 16s, in the wake of 2 deaths in Queensland over the past week, and a lot of concern in the community. It's something you've told me about before when we were talking about pedestrians and cycle paths only a week or two ago here on Life Matters. If it's something that you're wrestling with at the moment, the idea of giving an e-bike to the kid in your life, if it's legal, I'd love to know what's going into your thought process. My number's 0418 226 576. One says the problem's compounded by the fact that many of these kids think it's cool not to wear a helmet, so when an accident does happen, fatality increases. Another says, I don't understand why there's so much more public outcry about the danger of e-bikes than about the increasing size of SUVs, which pose a much greater risk to children. Well, I do encourage you to go back and listen to Life Matters from a week or two ago. We were talking about basically who should own the road. Should we be reducing speed limits on our roads to make them safer places for cyclists and pedestrians? And that in part is what's inspired this chat. You can send me a text 0418 226 576. Also with me is Peter Burke, General Manager of Bicycle Industries Australia and a voice in biking advocacy in Australia. Peter, welcome.
Good morning, Tegan. Thank you for having me on today.
So I'm hearing Carl say before that people are coming into the bike shop and asking about buying these bikes, but they're also just buying them direct from overseas. How did we get to this point where you can just basically import something directly?
Yeah, thanks, Tegan. Unfortunately, we've got a bit of a varied background in legislation. We used to have regulations where everything coming into the country needed to meet a minimum safety standard, and there was a mandatory importation controls on those. The federal government, in their wisdom, changed these regulations in early 2021, removing the requirement to meet any minimum standards, e-bike standard, I should say, at the point of import, and also removing the requirement for a mandatory import permit or an advisory notice. So now that's it's become voluntary, and so therefore, if you don't meet the standard, if you don't apply for the import permit, they can't reject you.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a bit of muddiness around the legalities, but there are legal limits on these bikes. What's the definition in Australia?
So this is relatively consistent across the country. For what's called now defined as an EPAC, electric power assist cycle, which is the most common bike we see, it is a maximum assisted power of 250 watts, continuous rated, maximum assisted speed of 25 k's an hour. So that means you can ride the bike faster than that, but the motor must not operate. And you can't operate just as a throttle. No pedal, no power. So they're the three major considerations when we're looking at a road legal e-bike.
What about these things that look like a motorbike but don't make any noise?
Yeah, and that's where we've got a lot of problems, because there's a very blurred line now between what is a e-bike and what has become an unroadworthy motorbike. So what we see is business models where they allow you to unlock the bike, so to speak, whether that be a code, a kit or otherwise. And so if the bike can do more than 25 k's an hour under motor, or you can just press a button, push the throttle and it takes off without pedaling, or it has a larger amount of power, it is not road legal. You won't have insurance. You're at serious risk if something goes wrong, and you're now riding an unroadworthy, unregistered motorbike effectively.
Okay, so they're not legal. They're not roadworthy. You're not insured. You're not covered. From a legal point of view, what else can we do if people are just going to ride them anyway?
Yeah, and that's something we've been grappling with. From the industry's point of view, we want to see import controls, because we want to see more people on e-bikes, because we think they're fantastic tools. They're great for transport, they're great for tourism, they're great for getting places. So we want more people on them. So we want more import controls. we also want stricter standards on what can be sold and what can be used. We also want to get rid of a loophole in the legislation that says if you promise that we're only ever going to use it on private land, you're allowed to unlock it to any speed, any power. So that if I promise I'm only ever going to use it on my farm, that means I can sell it and use it at, you know, 50, 60, 70 Ks an hour. So that loophole is something that we as an industry really believe needs to be addressed and really corrected.
Is this unanimous? Like, I can see that there'd be some people who'd be like, nah, let me do what I want with my own bike on my own private property.
Well, it's one of those challenges. If this was a motorbike per se, or with a ICE or an internal combustion engine that made lots of noise, parents wouldn't let their children ride it down the footpath. So, and that's where we've got to delineate between these are still motorbikes, even though the power is an electric motor rather than an ICE or a petrol motor. Parents have now got the concept, because it's silent, because it's quiet, they think it's okay to use. We really need to say, well, no, how would you let your child use a motorbike? You wouldn't let them ride it down the footpath. Yes, we've still got agricultural bikes or dirt bikes that are used off-road, and we're happy to work with that, but we really need to clean up that legislation to make sure people understand and don't use these for use on the road.
This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm with Peter Burke, who's the General Manager of Bicycle Industries Australia, and Carl Stade, the Assistant Manager of Lifecycle Bikes in the Margaret River in Western Australia, talking about e-bikes, really broad term, but basically younger kids under 16, on especially high-powered bikes, and just how dangerous that can be, what right mix of legislation and restrictions are right, and what's the role of all of us in society in helping enforce them. I'd love to know if this is something that you've considered in your family, especially if you have kids. You can send me a text on 0418 226 576. A couple of parents on the text line. One says, I have a 14-year-old boy with an imported kit conversion. He loves it. He rides it with caution and fun. I recently bought a legal pedal assist bike to go on rides with him. It's much better than sitting on his PlayStation. E-bikes are unavoidable, and we need to help kids learn to do the right thing. Another from Dean, who says, I've been in the industry since 2011, converting bikes to electric. The current laws are too restrictive. Currently, the law states 250 watts and 25 kilometres per hour. This is way too slow and too low in power. Dean says almost every e-bike is illegal with throttles and higher speeds. The real problem bikes are electric motorbikes. Change the laws to 40 kilos weight and 40 kilometres per hour. More realistic. Dean says my 11-year-old has had an e-bike since he was 7. He rides a 350 watt that does 35 kilometres an hour. Safe. Well, Dean's saying that he's in this industry and he obviously disagrees with you. How do we find a consensus here on what's the right mix?
Well, Australia is a relatively immature market when it comes to e-bikes. You know, we're generally 5 years behind Europe or 10 years. We should be actually looking at the world's biggest markets and having a look at what they've done. In places like Europe, they have a 25k an hour limit, but then they also do have a 45k an hour limit, which is what Dean's probably referring to. But that product has to be registered. That person can't ride it on a footpath, can't ride it on a shared path, must be riding on the road, must undertake training, and must undertake other requirements to be allowed to use it. So we believe there's an opportunity to have higher power, higher speed bikes, but they're not e-bikes, and they shouldn't be under the same road legislation as the bicycle. And like I say, if we look around the world, there's plenty of examples where they're doing this and doing it well. We just need to, you know, 25 k's an hour, and I understand what Dean's saying, but we're talking about use on shared paths. We're talking about use on footpaths across the country. That is where we think 25 is still a reasonable limit for those types of bikes.
Another text says, it's not that difficult. Parents should be made responsible for underage riders of e-bikes that are unregulated. Then police should be targeting those riders. Parents will then be forced to take responsibility. Well, that really echoes comments made by the federal MP for Fisher on the Sunshine Coast, Andrew Wallace, who warned that parents need to step up and take responsibility for their children's safety. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
We've all seen young people tearing around on these scooters. I've had them pass me whilst I've been driving on Nicklin Way in my car, and they've literally gone past me. So parents, please, I know some of them are, some parents are being really protective about this. This is the life of your child, because if they come off these scooters or e-bikes doing 30 or 40, 50 kilometres an hour as they're doing, particularly those kids that aren't wearing helmets, and many of them don't, there's no coming back from that. If they are lucky enough to survive in the first place, they are likely to have very, very significant brain injuries. So parents, please talk to your kids about the safe use of e-bikes and e-scooters. As a parent, you only get one chance with your child. Let's not make this, you know, have more statistics. As to the inquiry, the state government will be working through that inquiry. I look forward to seeing the results. You know, they obviously have to go through their processes. But this is an issue that's not just about law enforcement. It's about parental involvement. Please, parents, get involved. You wouldn't know whether your child has an e-bike or an e-scooter. If they do, sit them down and have that conversation with them.
So that's Federal MP for Fisher on the Sunshine Coast, Andrew Wallace. Peter, what element of this is about policing and parenting?
It's not a single solution, as Andrew's alluded to there, the member for Fisher has alluded to. There's a couple of key elements. We need to ensure they get access to good, safe, quality product. So that is the import controls and the sales controls. But on the other hand, we need to ensure that the community and parents in most situations understand what is a road legal and safe e-bike. And so, as Andrew Wallace said there, a lot of parents are aware their child's got an e-bike, but they're not aware of that it's not actually road legal or that it goes too fast. So it is a combination of safe product and a lot of education for parents, which also flows down to the children, and working with the parents to make sure the children's or the child's behaviour is appropriate for what they're doing.
So what can we be telling parents about e-bikes? Like, what should they know? How do they educate themselves?
Well, Carl from Life Cycle and Margaret River was right on point when he said he provides a lot of good quality advice. And so that's my first point. If you're looking at an e-bike, they are bicycles. So go to a good quality bike shop, and Life Cycle in Margaret River is a good quality bike shop, and they will be able to inform you what is the local laws. Unfortunately, we haven't got consistent laws across the country, so go to a local bike shop and they will talk to you about the local laws. They will be able to talk to you about the 250 watts. They'll be able to talk to you about the 25 k's an hour. They'll be able to talk to you about throttle controls. But also, if they start talking about a product that can be unlocked, that's probably not something you want to be talking about. So bike shops will know that. And so the first point of call is a bike shop.
Peter, Carl, thank you both so much for joining me today. Peter Burke is the General Manager of Bicycle Industries Australia, and Carl Stade is the Assistant Manager of Life Cycle Bikes in the Margaret River in Western Australia. And thank you. Lots and lots of texts about this. Chris says, I live in Bondi Junction and think the eastern suburbs of Sydney has a real issue. I'm surprised that more kids riding bikes or pedestrians haven't been injured. I see kids milling around on paths, on the roads, across parks at high speed, some without helmets, some doing wheelies. Chris says, just last week I was walking through Bondi Junction and a kid with an unstrapped helmet was doing a mono down the footpath as the guy from the bike shop where he'd just picked it up filmed him and later uploaded it to their social media. An hour later, I was coming back the other way and a kid doing a wheelie on the path knocked over an old guy with his dog and rode off laughing. Another text says, there is an age limit to getting a driver's license for a reason. Children don't have road sense. If it has a motor of any size, they should require a license and be controlled in the same way. Another says, please don't forget the dangers to pedestrians. E-bikes regularly use Canberra's walking and bike paths, but it's very scary if you're walking on the same path. E-bike riders, take a little care of us.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.